Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, welcome to the new year. Thank the Lord for bringing us safely through 2019. And now I greet you on the first day of January 2020 as we continue our study in the book of Malachi on the Beacon broadcast, having been sustained through another calendar year by the grace of God. And God has used some of you, our radio listeners, to help us with the financial cost of maintaining this broadcast on the various stations where we teach God's Word. Thank you for your help. We return again to Malachi chapter 3. We are focusing upon verse 5, where God says he's going to send a judge, namely the Messiah, and that Messiah is going to come and judge the people of God, the people of Israel. This, of course, is being spoken to the nation of Israel during the days of Malachi, about 400 years before the coming of Messiah. And that God is going to come and judge his people, and he names a number of specific sins that are going to be judged. Sorcery, adultery, perjury, exploiters, and oppressors. And though this is not a comprehensive list of offenses by any means, apparently it is some of the most significant ones that were being exercised in the land of Israel at this time, and apparently these are some of the sins that God considers to be particularly offensive to him. And for that reason, it is important, I think, that we take the time to study this passage. And so, thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, January 1, and please consider a gift for the Beacon broadcast. Start the year off right by helping us. I guess I shouldn't say right, but start the year off with a gift to help the teaching of God's Word. That would be much appreciated. Thank you for your consideration. Sorcerers, adulterers, we've already covered those two, but we come now to perjurers. I will come near you for judgment, I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers. What is perjurers? What is perjury? I think we all know that perjury is to swear to tell the truth in court and then to lie. Perjury is lying in a court of law under oath to tell the truth. That's what it is in the English language when we talk about perjury. And the question is that what God's talking about here? And it turns out that that is what he's talking about here. The literal Hebrew reads something like, those who swear to a lie. Those who swear to a lie. That is, they swear falsely. They take an oath to tell the truth, but instead they tell a lie. This is the truth. So help me God. It may not be a formal oath like we take in court, putting the hand on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God, I do. But this is talking about those who swear solemnly, even utilizing the name of God in their oath to affirm that they are telling the truth when in fact they are telling a lie. It is those who are lying under oath. Most often, that would be associated with a courtroom, but it can also take place in other settings as well. To lie under oath. You swore that this was the truth, and it turned out that it was not. It always occurs to me that in a normal setting, where you don't have a formal requirement of an oath like you do in a courtroom, that in a normal setting, those who make too much of swearing that this is the truth and speaking oaths to back up the fact that they're telling the truth, I'm always a bit suspicious of people like that, because my question is, why don't you tell the truth all the time? Why do you have to swear to tell the truth? If you are in the custom of telling the truth all the time, it wouldn't even occur to you to have to do that. There must be something in your own conscience that makes you double down and swear that this is the truth, because you know so many times what you say is not the truth. But the sad fact of the matter is that sometimes when people do that, all they're doing is trying to make their lie more believable. I don't think somebody will believe me if I just make this statement, so I'm going to swear to this statement, knowing all along that it isn't true. And that evidently was going on in the nation of Israel, and that goes on a lot in America today. And that is one of the sins for which God sends judgment. Now, you might say, I can think of sins that seem a whole lot worse than that to me. No doubt you can. But I'm telling you, this is what God says is causing him to bring judgment down upon Israel. And I will come near you for judgment, and I will be swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, those who lie under oath. Which I think is actually the basic meaning of the ninth commandment, the ninth of the ten. Thou shalt not bear false witness. We are witnesses in a court case. We swear to tell the truth, but you shall not bear false witness. You shall not testify against someone that which is not true. That is a serious offense. Now, most people think that the ninth commandment is just talking about lying in general, and I wouldn't want to do anything to banish that idea from your mind, because I'm confident that it is true that God does not want us to lie at any time. And the New Testament scriptures make that abundantly clear. That's one of the things that we put behind us when we become a Christian. We stop lying as we did before. We stop lying as we probably customarily did before. At least for some people, it's pretty customary. And we stop that. We tell the truth to one another. We tell the truth to our neighbor. It doesn't have to be a courtroom scene, but it is especially heinous to go into a formal courtroom situation and swear to tell the truth when all along you know you're telling a lie. I think I have witnessed some of that when it comes to picking judges for the Supreme Court. It goes back a long ways. I'm not talking about just the most recent incidents that probably spring to mind when I say that. But this goes back a long ways, many years, even decades, when I think it's pretty clear that somebody isn't telling the truth. Obviously, if you've got two people who are swearing by an oath to tell the truth, but their stories are not the same, they're the opposite. One says one thing, the other one says the opposite. They're both swearing to tell the truth. Somebody's not telling the truth. There's only a couple of possibilities here. Either one of the two is not telling the truth, or neither of them are telling the truth, but it's impossible that both of them could be telling the truth if they are stating opposite situations, opposite facts. They aren't facts if they aren't truth, because they aren't factual, but opposite statements of what they say is true. That is a serious, serious matter. The Bible talks about those who do this. Sometimes people do this, of course, because they want to do away with somebody that they hate. Or they want to ruin somebody that they don't want to be able to exert influence. That's what happens sometimes in these hearings for the Supreme Court. They don't want that person on the court because they think they're going to rule in a way that they don't approve of. And so some people will resort to anything to stop them, even resorting to lying under oath. You may get by with that in this world, and I think in many cases you do, but dear friend, you're not going to get by with that when you stand before God. God is going to hold you to account. God considers it extremely serious when you swear to a falsehood when someone is being tried in a court of law. If your false testimony puts somebody behind bars, and God forbid even further, your false testimony causes somebody to be executed, then you have committed one of the most serious crimes that it's possible to commit. How grieved we are to hear account after account after account after account in recent days of people who have been tried in court and found guilty and put behind bars, sometimes for years, even for decades, and then finally some piece of evidence, usually some scientific evidence that wasn't available at the time of the trial, DNA evidence or something like that, proves that they are innocent, as they claim to be all along. And going back and re-examining the trial, you find out that the prosecutor, of all people, was deliberately lying. The prosecutor was so determined to get a victory, to successfully prosecute somebody for this crime, to be able to say that they had put the perpetrator behind bars, that they were even willing to perjure themselves. They were willing to enter false evidence, or in many cases, what it actually is just to fail to disclose evidence they had that they knew would have exonerated the person. If they had brought this evidence to trial, there's no way that they would have been found guilty. They wanted them to be found guilty, and so they deliberately and maliciously and illegally concealed the evidence and are guilty thereby of false witness and of putting an innocent person behind bars, and in some cases even have caused an innocent person to be executed. I am not an opponent of capital punishment, as some people are, opponent of capital punishment because the Bible indicates that this is a legitimate punishment for certain crimes, that God says so. But what causes me great concern is what I'm just talking about, the number of people who have been found guilty who in fact turned out to be innocent. And though it is legitimate and even God-honoring to execute those who are truly guilty of murder, for sure, if not anything else but murder, first-degree murder, it is a horrendous crime to put someone to death who is innocent. And that in itself would cause people to pause when it comes to capital punishment. Well, time's gone. We'll join you again tomorrow at this day, or you join me. Until then, good day. God bless.